Hey, you've got the morning show with Aaron. We've still got John on Zoom, and we're going to have a little look, go back 100 years in time and have a look at things that are happening in Raglan and Whangaroa in 1922. And John, a whare coal mine. I had no idea.
For a long time there were rumours of coal being around the harbour, but this coal mine was over just the other side of the divvy. So this is just as you come down to the Ag Research Village down there, and the Johnston family owned that area and opened up a coal mine, and that kept going until the 1970s when natural gas replaced it, because it had been supplying both the Hamilton Hospital and the Hamilton Gas Works.
So was discovering you had coal in your property the equivalent of striking oil in more modern times?
Well, it was more problematic probably because you were never sure how big or thick the seam was and whether it would be easy to work or not. So there were many problems with coal mines, but you know, to say this one did keep going until the 1970s, so it had 50 years or so of producing coal. And one of the problems was that when it started, the road was in a fairly poor condition. So one of the complaints was about the heavy trucks that were running their coal from the bottom of the divvy through to Hamilton and what they were doing to the road. And so one of the things which happened in 1922 was that the Raglan Dairy Company had problems with their boiler and they had to stop production for a few months. And during that time, they were using trucks to take the milk or cream across to the Frankton factory.
Yep.
And so there was a stoush between the Raglan County Council and the Raglan Dairy Company about the damage that those trucks were doing to the road. And their response was to blame the Raglan County Council chairman, who was one of the Johnston family, Campbell Johnston, and say that his trucks from the coal mine were doing at least as much damage, if not more, than the trucks from the dairy. This is where he ended up saying, "It's ridiculous to expect us to sit here and listen to such absurd twaddle, and I, for one, am not going to stand it." So
it sounds like a comment.
It's not too good relationship between the dairy company and the Raglan County Council at that time.
Yeah, and we talked last time about how that sounds like a comedic way of saying things, but apparently that was a bit of a devastating language back in the day. So there was also talk about bridges. They were going to replace a bridge. Were they going to use concrete or wood? And they went through the cheaper option, the wooden option. Wood was cheaper. That's the Whareawhare Bridge. Is that across the one by Whareawhare, I guess?
Yeah, well, that's now been replaced with the concrete bridge. But at one time, there used to be a sharp turn in Potapota, and then you would, it's sort of dogleg shape that used to be there, which goes, you can still see the lane that goes off from that corner down to the river, and then it came back up the road on the other side that's now just a side road.
Okay. Elsewhere it says, "As this in Raglan, plans were also made for the first footbridge, 320 foot long, that's about 100 metres very roughly, 6 foot wide, estimated cost of £1,600, final cost was £2,500. Is that to be near the corner of the bathing enclosure? Is that the one down the end of Bow Street, John?
Well, the bathing enclosure was somewhere near where the fire station is now. So that area, because when they didn't have a footbridge, it was quite hard to, you needed a ferry to get across to the other side there.
And there was a ferryman, was there?
Yeah. They actually paid for a ferryman to be there for several decades. And also one across to Tiaco as well. So I think it was the same ferryman. So it depended which bit of the harbour you wanted to cross. But yeah, so the footbridge was part of the deal whereby Papahua was given to the people of Raglan, which is still one of the controversial issues about the airfield, because part of that is that area of land that was given for the people of Raglan. So, but yeah, in 1922 they were making the plans for the footbridge, but it was still not until 1926 that it actually got opened.
Yeah, and we should point out, always take the opportunity to point out that the terms of that gifting, and I'm using little air quotes here, I leapt in there, and I'm able to mute the mic toward you because it helps with the quality of the sound, but then I forget when I start talking you can't hear me. Anyway, I was going to say that the terms of that gifting of Papahua are actually on a board by the monuments over that side of the bridge, if people want to check that out and get their facts on that one.
Yes. That's still one of the reasons for having that monument over there.
Yeah, yeah. Did I interrupt you? You were going to say something, or should I want to move on to the steamers?
No, I've not got anything special to say.
There was a quick note here that a team of horses drawing a dray took fright at the council's oil tractor and backed over a bank into a stream at Tiuku, though no damage was done. Was that a news item from that year?
Yep, because there were quite a lot of problems between horses and motor vehicles, because in motor vehicles were probably generally more noisy and they were running on gravel roads, so and horses were always liable to take fright. So even before motor vehicles came along, there were accidents with horses that ran away or whatever.
Okay.
So this was always a problem, and lots of people didn't like the newfangled motor vehicles, so they found various reasons for objecting. So this was one of them. And at one stage, the council was talking about, this was before 1922, the council was talking about closing the roads to motor traffic for certainly overnight and often for quite long periods during the day as well. So
different priorities.
Yeah, to avoid damage to the roads and also to avoid frightening the horses.
Mm-hmm. So we just mentioned the steamers. There was a weekly link with Onehunga up in Auckland, and apparently it took 2¾ hours to get from Raglan to Kawhia, but that's by sea, from wharf to wharf, when the boat was running well. When it wasn't, it could take up to 8 hours in bad weather. I wouldn't want to be on the boat in that bad weather.
Yeah, well, these were fairly small ships.
Yeah, when we say ship, we wouldn't really call it a ship now, would we?
Well, one of the main one that was running at that time was 412 tons, the Rimu. But quite often she was in for repair, so she was replaced with a rather smaller ship, the Arapawa, and she was only 291 tons, which is really quite a small steamer. They would have had problems quite often, and there's some reports of watching steamers go out on a really rough day and being able to see the mast. The rest of the steamer was covered in spray.
At our harbour mouth?
Yeah.
Mm.
It could quite often be an unpleasant journey, which is why people preferred to use the train and use the ferry across the harbour.
But how long did that take? If you're going to, are we talking about going to Auckland? Was it much longer to go overland?
No, it was probably quicker.
Oh, okay, all right. Once the train was going, it was quicker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you could catch the morning train down from Auckland, and that would arrive about midday at Narawahia, and then it would take 2 or 3 hours to get to the ferry at Wainaro, and then an hour or so from there across the Raglan. So probably as quick a journey as very often doing the journey by sea, because it's quite a long way from Onehunga going round on the coast, because you have to sort of go out to sea and then back again effectively. So and just looking at the distance table that said how far it was, it was measured in 1864, and that was 70 miles in those days, quite some distance to steam.
Yeah. You mentioned the size of those boats, John, but do we know the length? Because I really don't know. 412 tons for the regular boat, the Rimu. I can't envisage that. Do we know how long it was? Oh, sorry, John, I've done it again. Do you know how long the Rimu was?
Not offhand. I have got measurements somewhere.
Because I can't tell from the tonnage exactly. I can't visualise that.
See if I can find it quickly.
Okay, well, you do that, and I'm going to do a quote about something else. Fishing expeditions were very popular. Goodly numbered journey to Gannet Island on the annual fishing excursion, but owing to the heavy swell, no hapuka fishing could be had. The vessel had to shift to the schnapper beds. They really call it schnapper with a CH, okay. Where good sport was had, including a 7-foot shark. So there we go. How are you doing, John?
I'm almost there. My index, but haven't actually done the Rimu in there yet.
Okay, I've got some more news here from 1922. The Opori was the last ship to join a 3-week strike in November because the weather was too stormy to leave Raglan. They couldn't strike because they were still out. The Northern Steamship cut its charges to meet rail and road competition and then cut wages, resulting in the strike and the use of what they call free labour to run the ships. During the strike, a report said flour had been exceedingly scarce in Raglan, showing that much food still travelled via the steamers. Work also continued to improve the wharf at Ponganui on the Tiako Wharf Road, as launches and barges still moved goods around the harbour. So quite a network of little boats trading around the harbour, I deduce from that. This is 100 years ago.
Because the roads were still unmetalled, it was a situation where it was easier to take things around by water than it was by road, which they only got round to putting gravel on the main road in 1921, so it was still quite new in 1922, and most of the other roads still weren't gravelled, so that particularly in winter it became almost impossible to use them.
Okay. So John, did you find out the size of the steamer?
No, what I realised that they it's one of those that I haven't got a measurement for.
Okay.
I've got a measurement for the Clansman, which was a slightly bigger steamer. She was 191 feet long and 26 feet wide.
So that's 60, 70 metres long?
Yep.
That's not that small, actually. I thought they were going to be smaller.
Well, as I say, the Rimu was a bit smaller than that. So
50 metres?
You're looking at a 50-metre long ship.
Yeah, still not that small. Bigger than, how do you know, I always ask John questions that he's not prepared for, but the Endeavour that Captain Cook sailed around this way that started all this trouble, how long was that, John, do we know?
Not without looking it up, no.
No, probably smaller though.
Yeah, I think that would have been quite a lot smaller, because I think the early sailing vessels were somewhere around about 100 tonnes. So they would have been about half or a third of the size of the Rimu.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But, the bigger the ship, the more comfortable your journey is usually.
So, John, we've run out of time again. We seem to make things stretch out quite... I don't know what we'd do if we had to do something fast, but this is history. You can take your time. If people want to know more, go to raglan23.co.nz and look up the... What did we do?
Sands of Time. Sands of Time on Raglan 23. You'll find a whole series of articles, including two for 1922.
Yeah, and there's talk about they're starting to build the Bible camp or preparing the site to build the Bible camp. Many Kiwi and Weka seem to be everywhere, said one report. That's interesting. Not anymore. And
yeah, there were lots of reports in those days of the, how common various birds and so on were. But there were also reports of weasel thing around, so that they were a problem from quite early days.
And I see the bowling club opened in 1922 as well, 100 years. Are they doing an anniversary this year, John? They must be.
Well, I think they did an anniversary last year because that's when the bowling club was purchased. But when they actually got the green sorted out, it was 1922.
And it's the same site? It's always stayed at that?
Yeah, that was, well, they've now doubled the size of it. But the original green was there, yes.
All right, John, thank you for your efforts this morning. And I know, just remind people of what we talked about back at the start. You're going to be talking to our regional councillor, Fred Litchwark, this evening and talking about why a bunch of them are trying to get rid of the chair of the Waikato Regional Council, Russ Rimmington. Well, we know why. They say he made some racist comments and hasn't been suitably repentant. That's my summary. But you'll be able to talk, get more detail out of Fred and find out why. Yeah, why there's the split in the council over whether Russ should go or not.
Yep, okay. So, see what Fred's got to say this evening. So,
yeah.
Thanks for talking to me this morning.
Just mention what time that is, John?
6:30, I'm talking to Fred.
6:30, okay. There you go, folks. Thank you, John.
Thank you, bye.
All right, folks, yeah, that was John Lawson. 6:30 tonight, talking to Fred. Bit of controversy at the regional council. Only reported in the big papers, but we will get the details and perhaps I'll replay the interview as well to make sure those that want to hear it. Alright, that's the end of the show for the day. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back again tomorrow morning. Stand by for what's going to be a little while, but Sean will be in 11:30 with the New Zealand Music Show.